If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. Voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up, impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Books on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person. And if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
Want to help those affected by Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines? To donate, visit philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. That's philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to Conservative Nation Radio. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Welcome to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. I've been informed that there was an audio problem earlier that I believe has now been rectified. I've put out a little flag on Facebook to see whether or not people will come in to check it out. I understand what the problem was. I did take care of it earlier. Wanted to read this to you. Half a league onward, all in the valley of death rode the 600. Forward, the Light Brigade, charge for the guns, he said. Into the valley of death rode the 600. Forward, the Light Brigade. Was there a man dismayed? Not though the soldiers knew someone had blundered. Theirs not to make reply. Theirs not to reason why, theirs but to do and die. Into the valley of death rode the 600. Cannon to right of them, cannon to left of them, cannon in front of them, volleyed and thundered, stormed at with shot and shell, boldly they rode and well, into the jaws of death, into the mouth of hell rode the 600. Flashed all their sabers bare, flashed as they turned in air, sabering the gunners there, charging an army while all the world wondered. Plunged in the battery smoke, right through the line they broke. Cossack and Russian reeled from the saber stroke, shattered and sundered. Then they rode back, but not the 600. Cannon to right of them, cannon to left of them, cannon behind them, volleyed and thundered, stormed at with shot and shell, while horse and hero fell, they that had fought so well came through the jaws of death, back from the mouth of hell, and that was left of them, left of 600. When can their glory fade? Oh, the wild charge they made, all the world wondered. Honor the charge they made, honor the Light Brigade, noble 600. From the charge, that is the Charge of the Light Brigade by Alfred Lord Tennyson, which was published just a few weeks after the Charge of the Light Brigade, which was on October 25th, 1854, in the Crimea. It's been around for a long time. That region has been a problem for a long time. It is very near the old Ottoman Empire, which was known as the sick man of Europe. That's why there are Mohammedans living in the former Yugoslavia, because the Ottoman Turks used to control
that part, that's the reason. In any event, it has been a serious problem for a very long time. Basically, it is always difficult in that area, always hard in that region. It makes it even more difficult when the President of the United States has this idea that is, I suppose, could best be described as the idea that if we are really, really nice to everybody, that everybody will be really, really nice to us. And of course, really, that sort of thing just does not happen. And the president was caught flat-footed by this thing. He just simply can't force himself to believe that the Russians are not really, really nice guys. Way down deep inside, underneath it all, they're really, really nice. And we're going to be really, really nice to them. And then they'll be really, really – and this is the world in which he and Clinton live. It's that simple. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. I have been informed by a good person in the chat room that the audio is working. There were problems earlier. In any event, those are all behind us now. It certainly is too late and would not be advisable for the United States to formulate and implement some kind of a military solution to the Crimean situation. That would not work. That would not make any sense. You don't go fighting the Russian army on their home continent. That just, that does not work. So we're not going to invade anything. We're not going to be engaging anybody over this. What Russia wants is a warm water port that they can rely on. And that is exactly what they've got by taking the Crimean Peninsula. It basically controls the Black Sea, the eastern end of the Black Sea, and it's, they just want to make sure that they can always get into the sea from Mother Russia, the Rodina, as it were. So that is what their real motivation is. I think Hillary Clinton was right when she said that she drew an analogy between Vladimir Putin and Adolf Hitler, because Adolf Hitler invaded what he called the Sudetenland, which is now we know as either the Czech Republic or Slovakia. I forget which one is further west. Don't have a map in front of me. But he went in there because he said he had an obligation to protect ethnic and German-speaking citizens in there, ethnic Germans, and those who spoke German. They were, Hitler wanted to, quote, protect them, unquote. I don't really know, what he was protecting them from, but that's what he did. And that is what Vladimir Putin has done. He went into the Crimean Peninsula. He's taken Balaclava. He's taken Sevastopol. I'm presuming he's taken Yalta. He's taken all of these different, towns along the Black Sea. And he is basically going to make sure that he keeps that warm water port. That is the entire deal. That's what the whole thing is all about. It just cannot really be about anything else. People always have an excuse to do what they want to do, and they always will. And that's just one of these things that happens. There's really nothing that you can do about it. It's going to take place. The only thing you really can do is try to be prepared. Maybe it wouldn't have been a bad idea for us to roll part of the Mediterranean fleet into the Aegean, or maybe just into the Black Sea, the western end of the Black Sea. Maybe that would have been enough to give him pause. I've been informed that the United States made a security guarantee to the Ukrainians And who knows, you know, that if they gave up their nuclear weapons, that we would protect them. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm presuming it is. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Oh, hi. This is Victoria.
Hey. How are you doing, Vic?
I'm fine. I've been doing a little interesting reading. That's why it took me a while to call. But I'm glad to see you're talking about the Ukraine, Duke, because that's what I was reading about. And I think it's a cause for a great deal of concern for Americans. And so I didn't manage to hear the first couple of minutes of your show. I don't know if I'm going to be redundant if I say anything about the Ukraine, but I think it's
no,
a good subject.
I want to hear what you think about it. Can you bear with me 1 minute?
Uh-huh.
I do want to make sure that everybody is aware, and this should come as no surprise, that our Constitution is under attack. It seems that everybody and his brother is trying to figure out an end run around the Articles and Amendments of the U.S. Constitution. Now, if you, like me, are tired of leftists and unfriendly political forces telling America that our Constitution is a mere footnote, be advised that a lot of real Americans like you and me are going to come together at the Defend the Constitution rally in Waynesboro, Tennessee, just an hour southwest of Nashville, on the weekend of April 26th. Great speakers like Scotty Nell Hughes, Karen Vaughn, and Joe Carr will be on hand to name just a few. Great music, great food, and great times will be had by all. Go to defendtheconstitutionrally.com to learn more about this event, and I do hope to see you there. Now, Vic, let's talk about the Ukraine.
Yeah, let's do that. You know, the more I take a look at the situation, I've been out of the loop, Duke, for a week or two because I've been teaching. And now I'm looking at what Barack Obama is doing with our military and his speech about something about the fact that America is in any kind of an emergency situation, reference Ukraine. Of course, that's not true because what happens in the Ukraine is not an emergency, a national emergency as he puts it. Over here, but I wonder how many people realize how much Barack Obama right now is increasing our troop presence in the China Seas and in the South Pacific, and, you know, we've got Aegis destroyers in Spain and missile defense system in both Spain and Europe, and U.S. and naval forces, NATO forces are being built up in the Persian Gulf, and we're positioning ourselves as if we want to stop Russia from doing something, or that we're, you know, it's like saber rattling. Why are we saber rattling with them? I can't help but think back to Syria a few months ago, where when push came to shove and we started getting really anxious to convince the American people that it was time to take down the Assad regime, much as we did the same thing with Saddam Hussein, much as we went into Libya and did the same thing with Gaddafi. Has anybody started to notice a pattern here, you know, where somehow the United States keeps building up these campaigns to convince the American people that it's our role to do government changing? And, you know, we always find really good reasons for it. But Russia stood up to us, and the American people were sick and tired of all these conflicts and preemptive strikes, and we said no. So Obama had to back down, and now I can't help. I don't know enough about it to say that I'm going to tell you this is exactly what's going on, but my gut feeling is that Obama's declaration of the situation in Ukraine as a national emergency for the United States sounds to me like he's looking for a way to restore, well, to push Russia out of the way so that he can finally carry out his intentions of bringing down Assad and increasing our presence in the Middle East and helping Saudi Arabia. There's a lot of things going on that I'm going to just say, all right, I'm still doing my homework, but I feel like I'm only scratching the surface. But I wonder if any of your listeners have any idea how big the Chinese army is compared to the United States. For us to be doing anything that provokes those two nations, which could easily work in orchestration to put us back in our place, this, you know, today, I don't know if you saw the Washington Times today. Did you happen
did
to
not,
notice
no.
that LaRouche PAC bought a full-page, front-page ad, Jacques, and he wrote a letter calling for the impeachment of Barack Obama, and the summary of the whole thing is that he's lying the United States into World War III. So, you know, I think all of your listeners ought to be paying very, very close attention to what's going on in the Ukraine, because this is dangerous stuff.
Well, I don't know how much Lyndon LaRouche knows about, you know, actual foreign military intelligence. Military intelligence does not always work. It's not always accurate. It doesn't always deliver warnings that are correct and timely and everything. It's like any other human endeavor. Errors are going to get made. There's just no way around that.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Do you have any funny suspicions about the odds of all of these government demises happening in such rapid succession? You know, first, of course, we know we went in and took out Saddam Hussein, and we allegedly took out Osama bin Laden. But then, of course, we went after Gaddafi, you know, and he's gone, and now we're interested. We found a really good reason. You know, there's despots all over the world, but we seem to be cherry-picking our despots, and then we tried to go into Syria, and Russia got in our way, and now we're calling Russia the bad guy. I mean, you don't see a pattern here?
Well, there is a pattern in everything, and there, you know, you can pick out a pattern in everything. I mean, the way the European nations handled themselves for hundreds of years was a pattern, and likewise World War I leading directly into World War II, et cetera, there probably is a pattern, you know.
Let me ask you a question. Does it bother you? You were talking about the Constitution just a minute ago. Does it trouble you at all that the war in Libya was, as a matter of fact, it was never constitutionally, it wasn't something that he went in front of Congress and got agreement to do? You know, he's been in violation of the Constitution. How many times has he assumed his own powers, usurping congressional powers, and said, like, remember in his State of the Union speech on January 28th this year, he announced that, you know, he's just going to forego congressional approval for major aspects of his agenda and rule by executive decree. Tell me that sits with you. How does that sit
well,
with you?
Well, he is not allowed to do that. If he writes
That's what he
an
did
executive
with Libya. That's
order.
What he just tried to do with Syria.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, and, you know, funny that the pacifist John Kerry was going around making the case for bombing Syria.
Well, look at who they paid to do it for the Gulf War. They got that lovely Colin Powell, who's the, you know, he served in the military, but he's hardly a saber rattler, and yet he was standing up there lying to the TV screen saying that there were weapons of mass destruction and stumbling over his words. I mean, they always have to put somebody forward as the face of their agenda, and now it's John Kerry, and what a terrible face it is. That man needs to stop going to the doctors and just let nature take its course, but that's a different story.
Well, he needs to go back to his day job as an Easter Island statue. However, can you bear with me a moment? I do have to take a quick break here, so just bear with me. All right, Vic?
Absolutely.
Don't go away. All right. Let's take a real quick break, and when we come back, more with Victoria from the District of Columbia. Maybe that rhymes. Victoria from Columbia. So I don't know. We'll figure out something. Your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay. What?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Thank you, Greg Durant, and thank you, Miriam Stokely of Ivy Amos. I just love that music from the mid-1990s. Duke Brooks here. Welcome back to Victoria Bingham on Radio Free America and conservativenationmedia.com. So, Victoria, what do you think the Russians' next move is going to be over there in the Ukraine and the Crimean Peninsula?
Well, I honestly don't know what their next move is going to be, but I don't like the fact that they're in Crimea, but Crimea was part of Russia. You know, Khrushchev was Ukrainian, and when he had the authority to do so, he handed it over to the Ukraine. And unfortunately for Ukraine, there's still a majority of ethnic Russians living in Crimea. So, you know, Russia is using that as an excuse to go in there. Well, didn't Germany do the same thing in World War II? They used the excuse that they were defending German interests in, what was it? Was it Austria that they rolled the
dice? No, they just annexed Austria. It was the Sudetenland, which now is either the Czech Republic or Slovakia, one or the other.
Okay, but it's pretty much the same premise.
It is the same.
So I don't like what Russia's doing by any stretch, but that doesn't mean I think that we ought to be standing up to them and bringing all this increased troop presence out in the China Sea and, you know, therefore making both Russia and China very uncomfortable with what is the United States' intentions. I don't really know what the United States' intentions are. What's going on in the Ukraine really isn't our business. And we could be fighting, spreading our boys all over the whole globe at all times, and our founding fathers were very, very clear about our military, that it was designed to be constitutionally used for defending American interests on American soil, not American alleged interests all over the world, because then you can cough up a case for pretty much any conflict anywhere you want, and that's exactly what Obama's doing right now by claiming this is some kind of a national emergency for the United States. It's not. It isn't. You know, and I have a sneaky feeling there's something going on with all the neo-Nazis in the Ukraine that make up 30% of the activists and the rioters. You know, so far every single conflict that has been inflaming in the Middle East, and this particular one now, it just makes me wonder who's paying who. You ever think about some of these terrorists, these guys who cause these uprisings, and you know, you wonder, where did they get all their bullets? Bullets are expensive. You know, do they go to a day job and then they work real hard and they buy them on credit and then they go and they pick up their rifles? I mean, somebody's paying for all the weaponry and feeding these soldiers. You know, you have troops that are government-sponsored, that wear uniforms. And then there's all the rest of these conflicts in the Middle East, you know, the blowing up in different countries and the thing in Benghazi. Someone's paying for it. And really, anybody who wants to get to the bottom of what's going on needs to follow the money trail. It's not as difficult as it may sound, and I'm not about to get into that conversation now. But before we start casting aspersions and deciding who's right and who's wrong, I would like to summarize my little bit tonight, my two cents, and say that I think we're engaging in something dangerous to start trying to do with Russia what we want to do, and that seems to be to get it out of the way so we can move into Syria and complete our missions overseas. I think all the troops need to come home and we need to stop. You know, Ron Paul is somebody that talks a lot about blowback. And I don't think we've seen all the blowback that is building around the world because of our exploits, if you will. I'm very uncomfortable about what's going on in the Ukraine right now, and I think everybody should be. And I think we need to hold this president's feet to the fire and get him to regard the Constitution and go to no extracurricular constitutional, exploits where
adventures.
He uses executive powers to do anything. We have to, everyone really ought to get on their phone, get their faxes going, and tell their personal, their state's congressmen and senators to make this president follow the Constitution and run any military actions through them. This is a man who is acting as the commander-in-chief, who's never been in the military, who's openly shown his scorn for the military and the United States, and he's using our troops to what end, to what agenda? I really believe everyone listening should get on the phone and tell their respective senators and congressmen to force the executive branch
to
use them.
Okay. Victoria, I've got to go. We're at a hard break. We'll be talking again soon. Thank you for calling.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius said today that her agency may create special enrollment periods to sign up Americans who want to purchase health insurance but who missed the March 31st deadline.
If through no fault of their own they were unable to enroll, that eligibility extends to a delayed enrollment period and they will have a special enrollment.
Republican Kevin Brady, however, insisted that the law does not include such a provision that would allow the administration to enroll potential customers and policies this year if they miss the deadline. Sebelius, however, disagreed.
Well, sir, I can get you the specific site.
Brady's broader insinuation was that Sebelius knows that the administration won't meet its initial goal of 7 million enrollments by the end of this month, and it is trying to bend the rules to inch closer to that number. Republicans say that any tweak the administration makes to the law should be accompanied by a delay of the individual mandate penalty that Americans must pay if they choose to not purchase insurance. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back. This is the beginning of hour number two of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Duke Brooks is my name. The number here is 718-305-7176, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. We have been talking a little bit about the Ukrainian situation, the crisis over there. I'm going to take a very quick break now. Be back with you shortly. Don't go away.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true, I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah? Yeah,
pretty obvious.
Yeah,
yeah. So
yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase, Molon LeVay, which translated means, come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on The Michael Behrman Show.
Hit me!
Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back. Now we will get things going for real for this edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. By now you know what that piece of music means. Well, it means that it is time to look at this day in Civil War history. The Civil War, of course, was 150 years ago, and 150 years ago, March 12th, was a Saturday. This is from The Civil War Day by Day by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. The official order setting up the new top command of the United States armies was announced, albeit somewhat after the event. Major General Henry Wager Halleck was relieved at his own request as General-in-Chief and named Chief of Staff. Grant, of course, was assigned to command all the armies. Major General William Tecumseh Sherman was assigned to the Military Division of the Mississippi, commanding the departments of the Ohio, the Cumberland, the Tennessee, and the Arkansas. Major General J.B. McPherson replaced Sherman in command of the Department and Army of the Tennessee. In the general orders, the president also expressed his approbation and thanks to Halleck for, quote, able and zealous, unquote, service. That's open to discussion. On the Mississippi, General Banks, his army, and the gunboats started up the Red River into the heart of Louisiana. A skirmish near Union City, Tennessee, and a federal scout to Nolichucky Bend near Morristown, Tennessee, were recorded actions. President Jefferson Davis of the Confederacy suspended the execution of a deserter. The Lincolns entertained a number of top-ranking military men, but General Grant was not there. He was heading west to confer with Sherman. Mr. Lincoln wrote General Butler that two ladies seeking to visit Maryland could not do so unless they took the oath of allegiance. The president back then was very, very involved in details that took place. Maybe you have seen the Steven Spielberg movie called Lincoln, which is more about the passage of the 13th Amendment than it is about the president himself, in which people would show up at the White House, no appointment, nothing. They could just walk in, and they could see the president, and he would hold basically something like visiting hours every day. And people would line up outside his office, and they would come in with petitions. There was one, I remember reading of one lady who said that she had rented a room to a Union officer, and the officer was behind in rent, and she had come to Abraham Lincoln in order to get him to get the guy's rent current. I mean, it really unbelievable, the things that were going on back then. Washington, D.C. today is not anything even remotely like the way it was 150 years ago. First off, there was no air conditioning, but I digress. Coming up on about 10 minutes after the hour here at Radio Free America, conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins, lively discussion going on in the chat room. There's a gentleman in there who I've invited to call in. I kind of wish he would. You know, it's definitely more fun to have people on the air when you're, you know, doing this sort of thing. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, apparently in the well of the House either today or yesterday, believes the country is 400 years old. I'm not making this up. I think that's from the Washington Examiner. Don't know what to make of this Malaysian airliner. I have no idea what, you know, does anybody have any idea? 718-305-7176. It is very troubling. I'm just not really sure why that airplane would simply disappear that way. I have no idea. It's just... they've got a couple of people on board that had stolen passports, and that certainly would tend to, I think, cast some suspicion in the direction of terrorism. That would be a reasonable conclusion to make, I think. with terrorism being a possibility. Stolen passports, that part of the world, I don't know. Go ahead. Take your own guess. Figure it out for yourself, I suppose. We're about 12 minutes after the hour right now on conservativenationmedia.com. Very happy that you could be along. 718-305-7176 is the number here at conservativenationmedia.com. I'm sure you're aware by now, and if you're not, let me make sure that you are aware by now that we were at CPAC, and when I say we, I mean Linda and I went there representing conservativenationmedia.com, and it was a wonderful time. CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, is a fabulous thing. I will absolutely fill you in on it. Let's go ahead and take a caller. You are live on the air. Who's this?
This is Richard from New York.
Richard, how are you doing? What part in New York are 607? Is that like Binghamton?
Well, it's a huge area. 607 covers a huge area. I'm probably 2 hours west of Binghamton in the Finger Lakes region, about 12 miles above Keuka Lake.
Where are you in relation to Seneca Lake and Seneca Falls?
Well, Seneca Lake, it would be the next lake over, another lake over. I'm approximately, 50 miles from Seneca Lake, I'd say. And Seneca Lake would be just southeast of me. But, we're talking about Watkins Glen and all that, Seneca Falls, all that stuff.
Yes, exactly. I know Seneca Falls. It's a good town.
Yeah, I've been through there. I've done some historical research through there and the vicinity of Hector between there and Ithaca, stuff like that. Yeah,
it's a great region. I lived up there myself for about 11 years. So what now, outside of the cities, the big towns like Buffalo, Rochester, Albany, Syracuse, New York, New York State is not quite as liberal as they are in the big cities. Is that right?
Well, that's correct. In fact, most of the areas that are outside of the cities, even outside of the suburbs, would be predominantly farmland. And this is what you have. You have conservative people in farmland with hundreds of thousands of acres. In fact, we have Amish communities sprouting up everywhere now, moving in and buying up huge acreages. Over 1 million acres was purchased by the Amish and Mennonites alone in the past few years, just in this area here. And I'm talking about Steuben County, I'm way south of Buffalo. It's a massive area. Yeah.
Well, the Amish people bring with them good skills and good farming, ethic. There is a certain morality and ethic about them that I think is missing from our society in general right now. I would be if a lot of Amish people moved in around where I live.
Absolutely no problem with their being here. And, there isn't and good weather. Of course, we're buried in snow right now. We've had approximately a foot, and so we're just helping dig each other out. But on a nice day, it's quite normal to see at least two buggies go by my house. It's beautiful. I love it.
They're very nice people. I once read that they
don't hunt on their land Amish, unless you have permission, though.
Well, and I think that's that is good advice for anyone.
For anyone.
I once read that the Amish are not opposed to all forms of technology. Rather, they are opposed to things that they think may drive their community apart. There are some Amish who own cell phones. There are others that have computers. There are some that own automobiles. Some do, some don't, you know, but they've never caused problems for anybody. And they're not going to try to force people into their religion, which is what the Mohammedans do at the point of a gun or an RPG or something. Have you ever been in the service, sir?
Yes, sir. I served 12 years in the United States Marine Corps, beginning in 1982 to 96, I believe, if you calculate the reserve time at the end, yeah.
Okay, and what was your job in the Marines?
Primary MOS was 8151 anti-tank assaultman, or 0351 anti-tank assaultman. I was an 8151 guard, though, 15 months barracks duty, Subic Bay, at Charlie Company, detached to Capus Tarlac, about 20 miles due north of Clark Air Force Base, which was then Clark Air Force Base. Yeah.
In the Philippines, but Clark is no longer there, correct?
That's correct, and we no longer have control of Subic, as I understand. It's still one of the largest deep water ports in the Southern Pacific, but we no longer have the same relationship that we used to have. In fact, I think it was 92 that our contract for 50 years expired with the Philippines, and therefore our personnel were pulled out. And of course, Mount Pinatubo erupted and destroyed Clark anyway, so
yeah.
It doesn't make a difference. Yeah.
Yeah, what the Japs couldn't do, you know, Mount Pinatubo did.
And he did.
And yeah, you bet. Almost, in any event. Richard, let me ask you to bear with me for just a moment here. We at conservativenationmedia.com like to start off the work week every Monday in a great big way. It's called Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Now, even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. So, Richard, do you get primarily Buffalo or Rochester broadcast where you live?
I really don't listen to a lot of radio. I'm a disabled veteran. I don't drive a lot. You know?
I see.
I really can't handle long periods in vehicles, et cetera. But what I listen mostly to is a streaming internet radio. Whatever.
Oh, very fine. I'm very glad that you do.
This is an example of that. I also do not have a television. I haven't had one, you know, since 2007 or so. No cable, no TV, landline for a phone. The house is being renovated, and it looks beautiful right now. And I'm really ready for spring. You know.
Well, no TV. You're probably living a healthier and more carefree and easier life by not having a television in your house. Because when I watch it, all I do is get angry. You know, Obama is just, that guy is messing up left and right. He's in over his head. He thinks he's a rock star. He doesn't know that his job has responsibilities that come with it, apparently. I mean, I'm just guessing here. How about you? What do you think?
Well, if you're asking my personal opinion of the president, I would agree with you, but I think it goes a lot deeper than that. It's not just his the people that he knows and the money that he's found and the cabinet that surrounds him that's entirely communist. It's the idealism that he was brought up to have. He hates America. He wants to see it go down. He's willing to create, you know, his foreign policy right now is a perfect example of how he would like to see us weakened and how we would like to just create total confusion. I mean, but I think that his ultimate goal is to become a dictator for life, and creating kind of confusion and everything. And then once he gets enough of us to actually stand up, he'll try to snuff us down, and I think that's going to be his downfall.
Well, it's not like nobody in history has ever tried to be a dictator before. One would think it would be difficult in the United States, but if all U.S. government employees just accept the idea that it doesn't have to be a law, if the president says so, we're going to do it, we could have some very, very serious problems here. Richard, may I ask if you are working now, or are you completely retired? Or
I'm essentially completely retired, yes.
And were you wounded in action?
No, I was not.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I do have service-connected disabilities, yes, and that's as far as I'll go with that.
Okay.
That's
all
personal
right.
information.
I understand. Sure. Well, whatever the difficulties I certainly wish you the very best in getting past them and get well again as soon as you can. When you were in the Marines, did you go overseas? Were you in any action anywhere?
The Philippines was the first, and yes, we were exposed to I won't say enemy fire, but insurgent fire, yes. And I was at sea on a med float in 87 when the USS Stark was hit by a missile, so we had to, we literally ran on our ships and rowed to Spain and headed east, you know, and so we sat there for 45 days. The tempo of the thing was pretty hot the whole time. The guys, when I was going to the Philippines, we saw guys coming back from Grenada. We didn't sit well with the situation. But the thing is that when you're in the military, you don't have a choice. You just do what you got to do, and you're concerned about maintaining yourself and getting the rank that you need to continue. But unfortunately, I just lost heart in it, sort of. You know, I have had friends die. Not from combat, but, you know, people die.
Well, I thank you for protecting my country. I sincerely appreciate it. Whatever it is that ails you, I hope that you get whatever help and treatment that you need to get back to 100%.
I have a very good VA hospital here. A very good VA hospital here in Bath, New York. They take good care of us.
Bath, yeah, I know. That's kind of the southern tier, western end
yes.
of the southern tier, right?
Yes. In fact, I spent most of the last couple of days making sure that my neighbor, who is a Vietnam vet, also a Marine, was taken to Buffalo. In fact, the VA had him transported by ambulance from Bath to Buffalo. General, not the VA hospital in Buffalo, which is our VARO, by the way, but they sent him to Buffalo General. He's just been diagnosed with lung cancer. So, you know, it was all I could do to do what I had to do to get him back here and, with you know, get him settled, and then the snowstorm hit. So I've been trying to... basically, the last 24 hours has been an exercise in futility with regard to the weather, but, you know, so.
Well,
but
say again?
I said it was very nice to go on Blog Talk and.
Oh, sure. We're always glad to have you.
And find you, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm very, very glad that you did, and I certainly hope to hear from you again. Now, do you know in which congressional district you live?
No, not right offhand. You know.
Do you know
really
who your congressman is?
No, I know who my sheriff is, and you know, it's politics really don't mean anything to me. I, you know, unless it when, you know, the names and all that stuff. Like I said, I think a lot better when I'm typing on a keyboard than thinking on the fly when I'm talking on a phone. But you know, otherwise, I could probably answer that question, you know, almost immediately if I thought about it.
That's all right.
I've got traumatic brain injury, so I have a really bad short-term memory. So, it helps to be able to be more in control of my thoughts. If I'm on the phone, it really kind of puts me into it's like being in an elevator or something. I don't know. That's the way they described it to me, but.
Well, you're doing fine. I mean, you know, you sound great. You sound like you know what you're talking about, and at least you're interested.
But I
understand
the state, you know.
And I know
that my sheriff is one of the ones that who is opposed to enforcement of the SAFE Act. And but I can tell you right here that the state police presence, even in the small town that I live in, which is about 15 miles from Bath, I can tell you that in the last week there's been a heightened police presence with checkpoints, just, you know, checking registration and inspection and stuff like that. But it was very visible. And I thought to myself, maybe they're just trying to get enough revenue so they can hire more officers to try to confiscate our guns this summer. Because as of April 15th, we are supposed to register our weapons and similarly like they've done in Connecticut. And I applaud the men in Connecticut who stood up to defy that. And New York, you wait. Connecticut is nothing. You wait till New York stands up and says no too. And that's what I'm hoping for. You know,
in the South, they have people that they call rednecks. But in the North, we call them woodchucks. And
well,
I would not, I don't think it would be advisable for any armed force in the world to try to confiscate those people's firearms. First off, it's unconstitutional and it's illegal. And secondly, the American people know the difference.
Well, yes, and here we've already decided what we're going to do. We're just waiting on the date to come and seeing what they're going to do because we believe that they don't have the ability to enforce it. But if they do, try to stack up on our doors and you know, whatever, it's going to be a mess, you know. It's
yeah,
going to be a mess.
Yeah, I lived in that region for a long time.
Perfect.
And well, you know, you've got a lot of Manhattanites in Connecticut. You know, you've got a lot of people that they don't think of themselves as being Connecticutans or, you know, they think of themselves... Yeah, Connecticut, there you go.
Yeah, okay.
You know, nutmeg staters, constitution staters, they think of themselves as just living in a large region surrounding New York City, which
mm-hmm.
is fine, but it's causing states like Connecticut and Vermont to lose their own kind of natural character, you know. That Howard Dean was the governor of Vermont, and he's a New Yorker, and he basically just descended upon the state of Vermont with a lot of leftists from the Upper West Side of New York City. And, you know, Vermonters are just basically barely hanging on to their own state. People are doing this all the time, but, you know, I guess in America you can move from state to state. That is the entire purpose of having states in the first place. Richard, can you hang on for just a moment? I need to take a real quick break here, but I would like to continue speaking with you. I'm going to put you on hold. Very glad that Richard called in tonight. Now, just when you think you've heard everything, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on a rail. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice. Wait for the left to turn our world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from the emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. More coming up. Don't go away.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition. And then...
and then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out! Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
Even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You know it's okay to rock and roll and party. Just let someone else do the driving. Hi, this is Ray Manzarek of The Doors for RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive with someone else who's been drinking.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Bring on news, bring on news.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari. You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, welcome back to Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Thank you, George Harrison and Greg Duran, as usual. Duke Brooks here, 718-305-7176 is the number of Radio Free America. Let's bring Richard, who is calling from the southern tier of New York State near the Finger Lakes. Richard, how are you doing up there, buddy?
Well, we're okay. You know, we're going to have to dig ourselves out, but, you know, it's better than having a lot of rain. You know, the creeks are swollen and Cahokton River is just about topped, and you know, we'll do what we got to do around here. We're pretty, you know, a lot of us are retired people, a lot of retired military, a lot of retired civilian police, fire personnel. We, you know, we live out here in the country, and we, that's what we do, you know.
Well, it is a very rugged area up there. Are you familiar with Seneca Falls? Have you, I'm sure you've been there, right?
No, I have not been there. I've been to, Wappinger's, oh no, that's the wrong area.
That's on the other side of the state.
No, I wanted to say that Seneca Falls, you're talking about close to Hector, you know, you're talking about the southwest portion of Seneca Lake, correct?
No, Seneca Falls is near the north end, I think, of Cayuga Lake.
Okay, because Cayuga's the next lake over. I'm two lakes over from that.
Oh, okay.
No, I haven't been there. I've just been through Watkins Glen, just driving through. I forget what the route was, but I did some research because I ended up with a woman's diary from 1908, so I transcribed it and I actually tracked her down, and she was a farm woman. The family was farm people that lived in Hector, so I did a little bit of traveling. But I don't get around a lot. I'm just kind of stuck here due to my disability or whatever. But I love it here. It's beautiful. It is rugged. It's challenging. But hey, that's the kind of life I want to live.
How about Geneva? Have you been to Geneva?
No. Geneva would be, a little far away, but I haven't been there yet.
That's it is between Seneca Falls and Rochester. It's New York State Thruway there.
It's a ways just to get to 5 and 20 from here, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, there you go, 5 and 20. Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I lived in Syracuse for a long time. I know those roads. Let me ask you this: do you know who Daryl Issa is?
Yes, I do. He's an investigator. He tried to put the former IRS head on the stand again, in which he pled the fifth. Yes, I'm familiar with who he is. I know I've got his picture in my brain.
I met him the other day at CPAC. Very nice guy, very much like a congressman. Hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. Yeah, that sort of thing. But he is a Republican. He is the chairman of the House Oversight Committee and Government Operations Committee that is taking a look at how the IRS decided to just try to suppress any conservative or right-wing Tea Party efforts, and that's what they were able to do. And I hope that Lois Lerner serves some jail time, because what she did is wrong. Now Congressman Issa is very, very upset over the fact that it appears that the CIA or the FBI, someone, has been spying on the U.S. senators and maybe some U.S. congressmen, and he is very upset by that. And I think that he should be, because there's absolutely no excuse whatsoever for those agencies to be spying on the U.S. Congress. None. And I think if he gets to the bottom of this, it's probably going to be a lot more than people just losing their jobs. But with Holder still running the Justice Department, who knows what's going to happen? He's going to protect his friends no matter what. Now, what do you think should happen to the president, if anything?
Well, I think the president should be impeached. I think I think Holder should be impeached. Issa, in his case, what you're describing is the same reaction that Dianne Feinstein had to the CIA investigating Congress, which I find ironic. But the thing is that Issa. It doesn't surprise me that he would not want that, because then the question is, who's controlling the CIA, I think it's all going to come back to Holder and Obama and Obama's cabinet, and I think that somebody needs to get in there and find out what's what, and I think a lot of these people should be tried for treason, or at the very least impeached right now and then tried for treason, because I've never seen anything. I'm almost 50 years old. I've never seen anything like this happen in my country and in my entire life. Never. Not on this scale.
Well,
no.
I'm with you, pal. It is, I barely recognize my own country anymore. The government has grown so large. And it has such a reach and scope and such a scale now. The founding fathers never intended it to be doing all of these things. the founding fathers never intended this country to be a great collective or a social engineering laboratory where various theories about social justice could be tried. That's not what they had in mind, you know. And the people that think that that will work here, they do not understand the American spirit. Like all liberals, they have a very fractured and disjointed understanding of human nature. And they should understand that you simply cannot force people into a state of uniform material sameness. That does not happen in the human race. All people are individuals, and each one has different capabilities and has different strengths and talents and things and weaknesses and everything else. And the liberals simply don't see things that way. Their idea is that if the game ends in a tie, it was fair. If it didn't end in a tie, it was not fair. But, you know, I know I'm just preaching to the choir here. Richard, thank you so much for calling up tonight, and I do hope that we'll hear from you regularly on Wednesday nights from now on.
Okay. I'll try to
thank
remember
you for
where
calling,
you're
my friend.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thanks very much, sir, and I do hope to hear from you again. Always a pleasure to hear from people all over the United States and all over the world. I wonder what happened to Christian. He did not join us tonight. Maybe he will, you know. America is still the freest country on this earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't about to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our own constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about your rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. We are about 15 and a half minutes now until we wrap up this episode of Radio Free America. We're going to take a break, and when I come back, we'll speak a little bit about the CPAC conference, which was wonderful, some final thoughts on that, and also a little bit, well, maybe some hangar flying. Who knows? You just stay right where you are.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sandy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hi, This is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
The Duke Books on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome back. The home stretch of Radio Free America, about 12 minutes to go. And as you're aware by now, Linda and I were at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, which is hosted by the American Conservative Union every year about this time. Had a wonderful time there last year, had an even better time there this year, and I'm looking forward to going back again next year. Now, the chairman and founder of our company, Mike Berryman, down there in Fort Worth, he is going to make it something like a policy that all of us from ConservativeNationMedia.com are going to be there on Radio Row next year. We'll probably do three or four shows live from Radio Row, and it's going to be wonderful. I did one on Friday night. I interviewed Richard from in the Finger Lakes region of New York a few minutes ago, was talking about the registration, and which will invariably and ultimately will lead to the confiscation of firearms by New York State authorities. Liberals just can't stand when people have the right to keep and bear arms. They can't stand that, and they're trying to do away with it. They don't care what the Constitution says, because to a liberal, the Constitution is something they call a living document. That is another name for a government of men, not a government of laws. And that's what all governments ultimately, and no government wants to actually have to answer to the population. Do you really think American politicians enjoy running for office? They just want to be put in office. They're the same as everywhere in the entire world. They're all like that. 718-305-7176. We've got a lot of activity in the chat room at this hour. At CPAC, you know, it is a wonderful, if you are a conservative, and even if you're not, I met some people there that were not conservatives. Joe Strupp is a reporter. He's a senior reporter for Media Matters for America. That is a left-wing George Soros website. And he and I spoke at length, and he was writing down the things that I said. He's a reporter. I know that he is a reporter, so I know that anything that I said to him is fair game, and that's fine. And I'm looking forward to seeing his piece in Media Matters for America. Maybe I'll go ahead and see if he has put it up there yet. Very, very nice guy. And it was just a wonderful time at CPAC. My girlfriend Linda met everybody. She talked with Ben Carson. She spoke with Dinesh D'Souza. She spoke with Newt and Callista Gingrich, Alan West, you know, you name it, absolutely everybody, Mark Levin, Eric Erickson, just a tremendous opportunity to meet people. That is, you know, really what networking events like this are about. There's a lot of grip and grin, you know, a lot of handshaking. We met and spoke with Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. I met Congressman Tom DeLay from Texas. who they, you know, they basically tried to run him out of office, and they even tried to pin some obscure, bizarre violation on him using a law that was not yet in effect at the time that the alleged violations took place. I mean, they will do absolutely anything in politics. But at CPAC, it was generally a bunch of very nice people. We kind of, I think Linda and I came out of there with the conclusion that Brett Baer, who is the anchor of Fox News in the afternoons, is the nicest guy. He was such a nice guy. Carl Cameron was a very nice guy. I'd met him a year ago, and he remembered me. Greta Van Susteren was polite. Now, speaking of really nice guys, let me bring in Matthew Opalisky, the host of the Liberty and Constitution Community. Matthew, how you doing, pal?
Hey, good evening, Mr. Duke. You're making me jealous that I didn't go with you to CPAC talking about all these nice folks that you met. And
you're going next year.
Even if one or two of them were nasty, you were still in a room full of folks that get it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Kevin Wade and Linda and I went up there. We'll probably have Kevin on the air this same time next week. But what is coming up tomorrow night on Liberty and Constitution Community?
Well, I tell you, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to preview a little bit. I'm going to a seminar on Saturday over in Severn, Maryland. It's put on by Institute on the Constitution, which is a group I've been working with for probably a little bit over a year now. They're kind of like they're an outfit that's an outreach. It's a constitutional outreach outfit that was put together by two attorneys that basically take the Constitution seriously. It's actually a law firm of Peruca and Peruca over in Severn, Maryland, and they formed the Institute of the Constitution about 12 years ago. And I can give you a little bit of a quote. Michael Peruca, who's one of the attorneys that owns the law firm, him and his brother, that put together Institute on the Constitution. And basically, he came to a realization. He said, "You know, I've been practicing law for 20 some years. I've been through the, you know, Maryland Law School, and I'm a member of the Maryland Bar. Code to me that I swear an oath to defend a document that was never ever discussed in Maryland Law School, which was the Maryland Constitution." So they started to put together a course on just the Maryland Constitution, and, you know, like I said, it started 12 years ago, and it exploded. And Michael was actually the 2004 candidate for the Constitution Party, running against George Bush and John Kerry. But this coming Saturday, there's a full day seminar featuring keynote speaker Judge Roy Moore, who was the man that they threw out of office for refusing to remove the Ten Commandments from his courtroom. And, of course, now he's back in and he's Chief Justice out there. I believe it's in Arkansas, I believe. But anyway, so he's the keynote speaker at an event I'm going to be going to. But before I preview that whole thing tomorrow night, I'm going to be making fun of Representative Sheila Jackson Lee for something that she said today.
Oh, yeah, the 400-year-old Constitution, right?
Yeah, well, I'm glad that she's thankful for the document, but I believe she's got it dated around 1614, which would make it, you know, basically around the time that Pocahontas was, marrying.
Jamestown hadn't even been founded yet. British had not yet arrived at Kent Island at that point. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would have been it's funny around the time she has the Constitution being ratified, which Delaware happened to be the first state to do that, you know, in 1787. Current events at the time when she's under the impression that was going on would have been, Jamestown and Plymouth. Well, Plymouth Rock wouldn't even have happened yet. So, yeah.
That's correct.
Again, I'm thankful that she even brought it up on the floor. But, I mean, come on. If she's not even sure what the hell she's talking about, what's the point?
She has no clue. But as they say, Matthew, a people get the government they deserve. And I guess her voters in her district, you know, well, we just really don't even have to go there. Are you encouraged by the victory yesterday in the Florida 13th District Special Election of David Jolly over Alex Sink, a lady with the name of Alex Sink.
Yeah, I am, but I know that a lot of times in my show, you know, I talk about different gun-related issues. And, you know, one of the things that kind of – it always teased me off when folks or groups similar to, you know, the NRA or to – they'll count something like what happened in that special election as a victory for, like, the Second Amendment. And I always look at it and I said, wait a minute. The Second Amendment doesn't need a victory, okay? It was settled back in 1791. Let's not pretend that one congressman or even a group of congresspeople have the authority to legally even create gun control laws. So to sell it as a victory for the Second Amendment, I look at that as just like a ploy to raise money. Because the Second Amendment doesn't need a victory. It was ratified, and it is what it is. Do you follow what I'm saying? I don't look at it. I don't even give credence to the concept that, oh, well, like, okay, and I railed on this on my show on a couple different times. Somebody will say, oh, well, you know, that was a great decision by the Ninth Circuit because, you know, now people can apply for a permit. Well, you don't need a permit. So I'm not going to rail on this being, yes, so why would I say that it's a great thing that the NRA or whatever group is happy that we can now apply for permission from the government to exercise our rights? So when we say, oh, that's a great victory, you know, that congressman is a great victory for the Second Amendment. Well, it should be a great victory for the entire Constitution, not just one amendment.
That's exactly right. But, Matthew, you know, we're dangerously close to two things. We're dangerously close to having a government of men, not a government of laws, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
And we're also dangerously close to the last 1 minute of this episode of Radio Free America. So thank you for calling in, my buddy, and I look forward to hearing you tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com with the Liberty and Constitution community. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
All righty. Always a pleasure to hear from Matthew Opalisky, and it is always a good idea to listen to his program, The Liberty and Constitution Community. That is Thursday nights at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com. That will wrap things up for this edition of Radio Free America. I do look forward to speaking to you again next week, right here, same time, same internet portal or whatever we call it, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central on conservativenationmedia.com. Thanks for being along and have a great night.